This week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim, and we are actually going to focus on the end of the parsha, on chapter 24. But before we get to the end of the parsha, we have to bring the famous machloikas between Rashi and the Evan Ezra, which the Ramban says this is actually a machloikas in the Machilta in the Medrash, where Rashi believes that all laws described in Parshas Mishpatim from the beginning, from chapter 21 until chapter 24, is out of order, because chapter 24, according to Rashi, belongs to Parshas Yisro before we receive the Ten Commandments. That's when we made the commitment on Pasuk number 7, where it says the famous words, Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do, we will hear. This commitment, according to Rashi, was given by the Jewish people to Hashem before He actually gave us the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibrois. And therefore, Rashi is pressed to explain what is written in chapter 24, Pasuk number 3, where it says there, Vayove Moshe, Moshe came, Vayesaper Laom, es kol divrei Hashem, and he relate to the nation all the words of Hashem, Ve'eis kol ha-mishpatim, and all the ordinances. So Rashi, since Rashi believes that Parshas Mishpatim, the Parshas of the laws of the ordinances that we received, was given only after the Ten Commandments, so we didn't have that many laws, is pressed to explain what ordinances are we talking. And Rashi says these are the 7 Noahide laws, the laws of Shabbos, the laws of Kibbut Avem, honoring your father and mother, Uporo Aduma, and the red heifer, the dinim, and other laws, business laws, shenitnu lohem b'mora, that was given in Mora, meaning the place described on chapter 15, Pasuk 25, that right after the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they found a well with bitter waters, and Hashem sweetened the waters, and right there the Pasuk says, Shom, Som, Loichoik, Umishpat, that there Hashem gave the nation a decree and the ordinance, Vesham Nisau, and they were tested. Rashi explains what ordinance and what decree was given. Rashi explains that the ordinance and decree given in Mora was the laws of Shabbos, certain business law, Kibbut Avaem, honoring father and mother, and red heifer. And this is the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu is now recommitting, telling again the nation that they have to commit to keep these laws as a prerequisite for us receiving the Torah. And on these laws, it's written, Bayan Koloam Kolechot, all the nation answered in one voice, Bayomri Koloho Dvorim Ashadibra Hashem Nase, that they said all the words of Hashem will do. The Evan Ezra believes that these parshas are all in order, and we received Parshas Mishpatim after we received the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Adibrois. In other words, all the laws related in Parshas Mishpatim were given after the Ten Commandments, but before Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain to get the tablets. That the Parshas as relayed in the Torah are chronological and in order. And therefore, he explains what Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people. The Mishpatim means literally our Parshas Mishpatim, all the laws written from chapter 21 till chapter 24, and on that the Jewish people made the commitment of Nasa they will do. Not on only the mitzvahs in Mora, that we received in Mora, but all the mitzvahs related on chapter 21 to 24, including the Ten Commandments, we said that we'll do. But continuing the Parsha continues on Pasuk number 4, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the words of Hashem and he built altars. Pasuk number 5 says that he brought sacrifices. And Pasuk number 6 says that Moshe Rabbeinu took half the blood of the sacrifices. He placed them in basins, and half the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Pasuk number 7 says, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Book of Covenant, and we'll have to explain what the Book of Covenant is. Vayikra Ba'ozne Aham, and he read the book in the ears of the people. Vayoimru, and they said, Koil asher diber Hashem, everything that Hashem said, Nase, we will do, v'nishma, and we will hear. Here are the famous words, Nase v'nishma, and these words come after we heard the Sefer HaBris. After we hear the Book of Covenant, that's when we say the words Nase v'nishma. And the focus of our shir is going to be to try to explain what the words Nase v'nishma means, that we'll hear, we'll do means, and we'll try to explain also why in Pasuk number 3, after we heard the words of Hashem and the rules, we said only Nase, we said only that we will do, and after we heard the Book of Covenant, then we add not only Nase, not only will do, Nishma, we will also hear. Rashi explains that this Sefer HaBris, this Book of Covenant that Moshe Rabbeinu read now before the Jewish people said Nase v'nishma, that we'll do and we'll hear, is the history of the Jewish people from Bereishis until the Torah was given, and also including in that book were the laws given in Mora. According to this, we could explain the difference between the beginning when we heard the laws and we only said Nase that we will do, and now that we read the Book of Covenants and we upped the ante and we said Nase v'nishma that we will do and we will hear, with a beautiful example. We know that if somebody is going to come over to you, even a good friend, and is going to tell you, promise me that you will do what I'll ask you. Obviously, since you don't know what your friend is asking you, you are going to be afraid to commit to the unknown because you don't know exactly if your friend has your best interest at heart. And even if your friend has your best interest at heart, you don't know for sure if what he is going to ask you is achievable, is attainable. And you would not want to commit to something falsely. You will first say, let me hear what you're going to ask. And then you will perform, you'll see if you could do it or not do it, and then you will perform what the friend asks you. But let's say your father now comes to you and asks you to promise him that you are going to perform something that he hasn't told you yet what it is. Now, since your father knows you very well, and your father knows what you are capable of, and you know that your father only has your best interest at heart, and he won't harm you either way, even if what he asks you now seems to be painful, but you know your father only wants your goodness, therefore you won't be afraid to commit to the unknown, and you will say to your father that yes, I will do what you ask me to, even though you haven't heard what he's going to ask. Because you are in no doubt that you are only going to gain from what your father asks you. Then obviously you are going to commit and you are going to say, yes, I promise to do whatever you're going to ask me. And according to Rashi, that's what changed from the first time where we said Nase to this time where he said Nase v'nishma. Originally, Moshe Rabbeinu just relayed the laws. And once he relayed the laws, we said, yes, we heard the laws. These laws seem fair, and we are willing to commit to them. We are going to perform those laws. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Book of Covenant, and the Book of Covenant is the history from the beginning of the world until now, including how Hashem was good to Abraham, how Hashem promised Abraham that he's going to take care of his children, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and also the slavery in Egypt, and all the miracles Hashem did in Egypt. And then we realize that everything was a plan, and all the plan that Hashem does, everything that moves around the world is on behalf of the Jewish people, on behalf of us. And furthermore, since Hashem created us, Hashem knows what we are capable of, then we know that Hashem is never going to ask us something that is going to be a harm to us, and He won't ask us something that it's not attainable, that's impossible to keep. Now we're not afraid to commit that anything that Hashem will ask us, we will do. We could go blindly and commit even though we don't know exactly what He's going to ask us, because we know for sure that He won't ask us anything that we can't keep or anything that's not beneficial to us. Therefore, as soon as we heard the Sefer HaBris, the Book of Covenant, and that history, we decided that we could commit ourselves and say Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do and we will hear, that we are committing to do even before that we are going to hear. And according to this, it's very good, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara there says, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, B'shosh Shekdimu Yisrael Na'aseh v'nishma, when the Jewish people said first, we will do and then we will hear, Yotzitzo Baskol V'omro Lohem, came a heavenly voice and said to them, Migilo Levonai, who disclosed to my children, Roz Zeh Shemalachei Ashor Mishtamshim Boy, this secret that ministering angels use, that the angels in heaven always do first and then they hear. They're always ready to do before they hear. And we, by coming to this situation, we transcended the level of angels because we decided to commit even before we heard. And those things normally are done by angels. And we, by saying Na'aseh v'nishma, achieved a level even greater than angels, because the angels have no choice. Once Hashem tells them something, they are required to do, because they don't have a Yetzer Hara, they don't have an evil inclination. But us, we are committing to do, even though we have a Yetzer Hara, even though we have an evil inclination, do Na'aseh, that we will do, regardless of what Hashem is going to ask us. So that Gemara is very fitting, that we, at that time, when we said Na'aseh v'nishma, because of our recognition that Hashem only wants our goodness, and Hashem is the creator of the world, and Hashem knows that we could do anything that He asks, therefore we weren't afraid to commit Na'aseh v'nishma. Nonetheless, that is a level even greater than angels. According to the Ibn Ezra, that the Ibn Ezra says that Sefer HaBris, the Book of Covenant, is actually Parshas Mishpatim, this Parsha that we just read. And according to the Ibn Ezra, this is exactly the same thing that was told for the Jewish people when they said Na'aseh. Then the question becomes even more important. How come the Jewish people, after they saw the Book of Covenant, they said Na'aseh v'nishma? If it is exactly the same thing they heard, and they only said Na'aseh the original time, how come now they said Na'aseh v'nishma? The Klei Yochor is trying to explain this idea, and the Klei Yochor says that we didn't say Na'aseh v'nishma because we just heard the Book of Covenant, but we said Na'aseh v'nishma because we saw a peculiar thing that happened on the Pasuk preceding it. On Pasuk number 7, there it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood is sprinkled on Mizbeach. You see that half the blood was saved for later. The Klei Yochor explains that the Jewish people thought that the blood that is sprinkled on Mizbeach signifies the mitzvahs that Hashem is giving us. And since they realized that only half the blood was sprinkled on Mizbeach, that means that is going to be another half blood. Therefore, they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu had only given them so far half the mitzvahs, and yet it's going to be another half to come. And before they understood really what is the other half of blood, they quickly committed themselves Na'aseh v'nishma on the other half that we haven't heard yet. We're committing to do even though we haven't heard, because we thought now that all the mitzvahs that we got is only a partial and more is going to come. And we were so devoted and so connected to Hashem that we were willing to do even the second half. But Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells them that you are mistaken, that the other half of blood is not that I'm going to give you extra mitzvahs to do. We are going to give you more mitzvahs, but that is not what the blood signifies. The blood signifies Hashem's covenant between you and Him. Therefore, the extra half of blood is going to sprinkle on the people. That's why right after the Jewish people said Na'aseh v'nishma, it's written Vayikach Moshe Sadam, Moshe Rabbeinu took the blood and sprinkled on the people. And according to the Klei Yochor, it fits very well why there's interruption between the blood sprinkled on Mizbeach and the blood sprinkled on the Jewish people. That since the Jewish people in the middle misunderstood and they thought that because Moshe Rabbeinu only used half a blood, that the extra half is going to be when it's going to be more mitzvahs given, and therefore they said Na'aseh v'nishma. And Moshe Rabbeinu was correcting them and saying, no, that's not the reason Hashem decided to make a covenant anyways with you, not because you said Nasa v'Nishma, the other half of the blood that is in the basins is going to be sprinkled on you because Hashem wants to make sure that there's a covenant between you and Him, and that is a symbol of covenant. And according to Klei Yochar, comes out like this, that originally the Jewish people thought that their commitment was only on the things that they did, so therefore they only said Nasa, that we'll do, because we already heard all the mitzvahs, we will say Nasa, we will do. But then the Jewish people realized that Moshe Rabbeinu only sprinkled half the blood. They thought there's going to be more mitzvahs, so they said Nasa v'Nishma, that we are committing for any future mitzvahs that Hashem is going to give us, that we are going to do. Moshe Rabbeinu corrects them and says that the sprinkling of the blood has got nothing to do with the mitzvahs that I'm going to give. It's just a symbol of Hashem's covenant between you and Him. That's why half goes on Mizbeach and half goes on you. But nonetheless, even though the Jewish people said erroneously, with the wrong assumption, the words Nasa v'Nishma, but their commitment of Nasa v'Nishma that they will do, they will hear, was honest and true, Hashem takes that statement and proclaims in heaven that this is the statement that the angels use, and Hashem is very proud of this fact that we said it. I wanted to answer with this Klei Yochar the famous question that Tosfos asks on Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara is analyzing the pasuk that is written on Shmos, chapter 19, pasuk number 17, where it says, "Vayitzvu betachat ha'har," that the Jewish people were underneath the mountain, normally it's translated at the bottom of the mountain, but literally Besachti Sahar means underneath the mountain. There the Gemara explains, Omar Bavdimi Bar Choma Bar Chasa, that Rav Avdimi, the son of Choma, the son of Chasa, says, Melamed, from this statement that the Jewish people were underneath the mountain, you learn, Shekofa Kodosh Baruch Hu Aleihem, that Hashem turned over them, Har Kegigis, a mountain like an upturned vat. In other words, Hashem took the mountain and put it over the Jewish people and threatened them. Omalom, he says, Im atem mekablim ha-toira, if you're going to accept the Torah, mutav, very good, we go on living and everything is fine. Veim laav, if you do not accept the Torah, shom tehei kaburaschem, there you are going to be buried. In other words, Hashem is threatening us that we are required to keep the Torah, and if we don't want to keep the Torah, we are going to be killed. The question Tosfos asks, why was it necessary for Hashem to force us to accept the Torah if we already expressed, we already told Hashem by the statement, Nasa v'Nishma, that we will do and we will hear, we already said clearly that we are willing to accept the Torah. Why was it necessary then to coerce us to accept the Torah? And Tosfos gives there a lot of different answers, and all the Mefarshim give different answers, but I wanted to say that according to what the Klei Yochar just mentioned, that when we said Nasa v'Nishma, we said it by mistake, because we misunderstood the idea of the blood, and we said Nasa v'Nishma because at that point we thought that we are going to get more mitzvahs, and on those mitzvahs we are willing to accept it blindly, and we said Nasa we will do and Nishma will hear. But nonetheless, after everything is said and done, that statement was a mistake, because Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that the half of the blood is not meant for mitzvahs, it's just meant for a covenant. Now comes out that we will have an excuse in the future and say that we never meant the statement Nasa and Nishma. Therefore, Hashem has to put a mountain over our head and tell us that we are required to keep the Torah, that you can't think that it was a mistake that you accepted, but had you known the true meaning of the blood, you'd have never have made that statement. To preclude you from saying that, Hashem put the mountain over your head and said that you are required to keep the Torah, you're required to keep that commitment of Nasa v'Nishma, even though you made it erroneously. Sefer Rechovos HaNoar tries to answer what was changed from the original oral rendition of Parshas Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, and the Jewish people at that point only said Nasa, but when he wrote them down, When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer HaBris, the Book of Covenant, which according to the Ben Ezra is the very same Sefer Mishpatim which is spoke orally, then the Jewish people decided to say Nase Venishma, we will do and we will hear. And we asked, what is the difference, why first only Nase and now also Nishma, that we'll also hear? He answers based on the Gemara in Erevin Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b. There the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, chapter 5, Pasuk number 11. The Pasuk says, Roisho Kesem Pas, his head is finest gold, Kvitzois of Tal Talim, his locks are wavy, Shechoirois, black, Kaoirev as raven. And the Gemara is trying to explain this Pasuk based on the Torah, that this is alluding to the Torah. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Mar Ukva. Rav Chisda says in the name of Mar Ukva, Malamed, from there you learn, Sheyesh Lidrois, I'll call Koitz Vekoitz, that on every little single point and every little splinter of ink, Tile Tilim Shel Alochois, heaps and heaps of Alochois. Mar Ukva is playing if the words and saying that Kvetzoysov normally means lacks of hair, but here Kvetzoysov means a plural for koitz, a plural for splinter, points. In other words, a little point of ink written on top of the Torah, and he plays if the word taltalim, which normally means wavy, and he says tilei tilim, which is heaps. So he says that he's telling you that the Torah is so perfect that from every little point of ink we could learn a mountain of halachas. And that is better explained in the Gemara in Menachas 29b. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to heaven and he saw Hashem is putting crowns on the words of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, why is the crowns necessary? Hashem replied, there is going to be a man named Akiva ben Yosef, which is Rabbi Akiva, which will derive heaps and heaps of halachas, of laws, based on a single point, a single crown, one single line that's on top of the words of the Torah. We know certain words in the Torah require to have three tagim, which looks like a crown, and mostly are on the words Shatnez Gatz, Shin Ayin, Tes, Nun Zayin, Gimel Tzadik. Those are usually the words that have crowns on them, but certain letters like certain Heis, other letters have also some line on top of them. And those lines are analyzed by Rabbi Akiva, and he learns halachas, he derives laws from them, therefore they are important. And Hashem was doing this, he was attaching and putting the finishing touch on those letters when Moshe Rabbeinu came to him. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks, why are they so important? And Hashem answered them that we are going to derive a lot of halachas from these words. According to this, Sefer Rechovos HaNoar explains like that. Originally, the Jewish people heard the mitzvahs the Moshe Rabbeinu gave, the mitzvahs Ve'ela Mishpatim, they heard it orally, and they said, very nice, we hear it orally, and we will accept those mitzvahs. Nase will accept those mitzvahs, there is no problem. But then Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them in the book. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the book, they realized that there is also crowns on those letters. And from those crowns of those letters, eventually, Rabbi Akiva is going to derive halachas from it. So now they realize that they don't know all the halachas yet. That Moshe Rabbeinu told them certain laws of Mishpatim, but didn't tell them all the details and all the particulars about the way it's written, what you derive from the way it's written, what you derive from other things. So now all of a sudden they realize that they don't have all the instructions, even though they receive Parshas Mishpatim, but they don't have total instructions on every single detail on Parshas Mishpatim, because they saw from the words that there is crowns in certain words and no crowns in other words. Now they realize that Nase is not enough, that Nase v'Nishma. We are willing not only to do what is written here, but also Nishma, we will hear what is written. What is those tagim? What are those crowns? What do they mean? What halachas is derived? And we are willing to even hear those and commit to those. Therefore, Nase v'Nishma only came after Sefer HaBris, after they saw it in writing, and they saw there is a lot more details than they thought. And still they committed themselves. That's why Naaseh v'Nishma is so great, because now they accepted the commitment of doing even the minute details, even the fine details on top of those letters. And because of that, we are considered like angels. Sefer Tosfos Bracha explains that when we said Naaseh v'Nishma, we didn't mean to say that we'll hear any future laws. Nishma means that we'll understand, like something that you understand, you say, oh, I hear what you say. The Jewish people, when they got the Torah, they realized that they don't understand every reason for every law. But they knew that if they continue doing the action of the mitzvah, they keep performing the mitzvah, eventually they will understand the mitzvah. And it says that that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 3, Mishnah Yud Beis, says, in the name of Rab Hanina ben Doisa, Hu Ayo Oimer, he used to say, Kol Shemasov Merubim Chachmasoi, anyone whose good deed exceeds his wisdom, then Chachmasoi Miskayemes, his wisdom will endure. Which they explain that if we commit ourselves that we're going to do the mitzvahs of Hashem bit mimois wholeheartedly, because Hashem told us to do it, even though we don't understand why and what we are doing, then Hashem merits that eventually we will understand why Hashem gave us a mitzvah and how the mitzvah is beneficial to us. Through our performance of the mitzvah, through our Naaseh, then we'll get to Nishma to understand what the mitzvah is all about. And this explanation that the Nishma that we're going to understand after perform the mitzvah, it is very good if we use in conjunction with the Rechoy V'Sanor that we just mentioned before, that once Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer Mishpatim and they saw all the koitzim, all the crowns on the letters, and they realized that we learned something from that, then they realized they don't understand all the particulars of that particular mitzvah, that they don't know exactly what reasons those crowns are. Obviously, there must be more details or more things hidden that they don't understand. Then they made a commitment that the Nishma, that we're going to do the mitzvahs anyways, even if we don't understand every little point, every little crown, what that is for, nonetheless, we commit ourselves to do the mitzvah, and eventually, hopefully, if we merit and do the mitzvah properly, Hashem will disclose to us what every little of these points mean. And that's why originally we never wanted to say Nishma, because we thought that the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, we understand every reason or every point of it. But now that they saw that even the mitzvahs that they got, they don't understand every point that's in it, automatically they realize that they require to have Naaseh in order to Nishma, in order to merit the understanding. The Rashbam gives a simple interpretation on the word Naaseh v'Nishma, which means simply Naaseh, we will do now what you told us, and v'Nishma, we will hear in the future any mitzvahs that you are going to give. But it's not a commitment, according to the Rashbam, that we are going to commit any future mitzvahs. And according to this Rashbam, we could also answer why Kofo Aleihem Har Kegiges, our question of Tosfos, why was it required for Hashem to put a mountain over our heads, since we already said Naaseh v'Nishma? We could answer that we never committed to do any future mitzvahs that Hashem is going to give us. We only agreed to do the mitzvahs that was given until now. The v'Nishma is that we are going to hear, but we have no commitments of performance. Therefore, Hashem had to put a mountain over our head to tell us that we were required to accept it, we were required to make it, otherwise the mountain will fall on top of us. Sefer Shar Aharon brings another interpretation, and he says that Naaseh v'Nishma is very simple. Since we just received the Ten Commandments, positive commandments and negative commandments, so we are trying to say that Naaseh, we will do the positive commandments, because positive commandments are active commandments. That means that I'm going to do something like honor your father and mother. And the negative commandments we can do, we could only hear. Do not steal. We cannot do not steal. We could only hear. So according to this interpretation, Shar Aharon says that Naaseh means we will do. We'll do the positive commandments. V'Nishma, we will hear the negative commandments. The Beis Halevi brings another Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara says, Dorash Rab Simoi. Rab Simoi expounded, B'shosh Ekdimu Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma, when the Jewish people anticipated the word Nasa, the word that will do, before the word Nishma, Yardu Samach Ribo Yishal Malach HaShore, 600,000 angels came down, V'koshu Lechol Echad Mi'Yisrael Shnei Ksorim, and each angel put two crowns on each Jew. Echot Keneged Nase, one crown was given as a reward for the Jewish people saying Nase, Ve'echot Keneged Nishma, and one crown was given as a reward for us saying Nishma, that we will hear. In other words, Hashem gave us a reward because we anticipated Nase to Nishma. It's not because we said Nase v'Nishma, it's because we anticipated Nase to Nishma. Therefore, the Beis Halevi, the Bris Kerov, brings a Zohar, which the Zohar translates, Nase, we will do the good deeds, the Nishma, we will hear the Torah. Meaning that there is two kinds of learning of Torah. One kind of learning of Torah is that we learn Torah because we want to know how to perform the mitzvah. In other words, that's Lilmoid Velasois. That's the learning in order to do. And that kind of learning, everybody is mechuyev, everybody is obligated. Men and women, they are all obligated in learning in order to perform their mitzvahs. As the Beis Yosef in Siman Mem Zion 47 brings down in the name of the Rokeach, that is the reason why women are allowed to make the Birchas HaTorah, the blessing on the Torah, on learning the Torah every morning, because they are required to learn in order to perform their mitzvahs. That any mitzvah the woman is obligated, for example, Shabbos, that a woman is obligated, she is required to learn all the laws of Shabbos, the same way as a man. So there is a learning of Torah in order for you to perform. But then there is a learning of Torah for learning's sake. Not to perform any mitzvahs, not because you are going to do any positive commandment, just because there is actually a mitzvah to learn Torah. The Beis Halevi explains like that, had the Jewish people said, Nishma v'nase, that we will hear and we will do, then it would have meant that we would just hear and learn the Torah in order to do. But once we already know how to do, we will stop learning. But now that the Jewish people said, Nase v'nishma, that we will do, and even after we know how to do, we will still willing to hear, and we are promising to learn the Torah for Torah's sake itself, not because we want to get to do something, just because you told us to learn Torah, that is a great show of love, because that shows that we're dwelling in the Torah because Hashem gave us the Torah for no other specific reason. Because of that, we received two crowns. Because we anticipated Nase to Nishma, and we said Nishma, even though you already learned how to do the Nase, so therefore our learning is not for doing, is just for Torah's sake, then we deserve to get the crowns. According to this, I wanted to answer a perplexing Medrash, which the Medrash says that as soon as the Jewish people said Nase v'Nishma, we will do and we'll hear, the angels came to Hashem and said, Tzna oitcho ala shomayim, put your glory in heaven. Meaning, why give your Torah to men which are on earth? Give your glory in heaven, let the Torah be in heaven and give it to the angels. Everybody is bothered what the connection of put your glory in heaven to saying Nase v'Nishma, quite opposite. Once we say Nase v'Nishma, we deserve to get the Torah, then why do the angels want the Torah to be in heaven right after we make the statement Nase v'Nishma? It would have been better if that statement would have been before we said Nase v'Nishma. But why does the Medrash say that right after we achieve the level of Nase v'Nishma, that's when the angels complain, give us the Torah? And to answer that, we have to go to Gemara in Shabbos of Peches Omed Beis, 88b, which the Gemara there says that the angels complained to Hashem that they said, Chemdel Genuza, this huge treasure that's hidden to you for 974 generations before the world was created, you want to give to men? And they use this pasuk, Ma'anosh Kisizkarenu Uvenadom Kisivkedenu, what is man that should be counted, that should remember him? And what is the son of man that you should recall him? Moad Rishimcho B'chol Oretz, how grand is your name in old earth, Ashetna Hoitcho Alashamaim, bestow your glory in heaven. In other words, the same thing that the Midrash says, that the angels complained after we said Nasa v'Nishma, according to the Gemara, they came to complain in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then what happens? Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to give them an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu decides to use the Ten Commandments as proof that the Torah does not apply to angels. He says the first and second commandments tell you, I'm God your God, and do not have false God in front of me. So what? The angels required to have this commandment. They are between the nations that they worship idolatry, that they could learn from them, that they have to refrain from doing that. Then he brings the other commandment that says, remember the Shabbos, you should make sure that you rest on Shabbos. You angels actually do work that you require to rest on Shabbos. Then it's written, do not take Hashem's name in vain, meaning that do not swear falsely in the name of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, are you involved in business that you require to take oaths, that we have to tell you not to swear in Hashem's name in vain? Then he says, it's written in the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. You have a father, you have a mother that you require to honor. Then he brings the other commandment, says, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal. You have jealousy between you. Do you have Yetzer Hara between you? You do have evil inclination that you would try to do these things. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, obviously, the whole Ten Commandments doesn't apply to you angels. And automatically, after Moshe Rabbeinu says that, the angels admit to Moshe that the Torah does not apply to them. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is entitled to keep the Torah. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to show that the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, do not apply to angels. Therefore, they have no business keeping the Torah. The Torah only applies to human beings that are challenged to make the mitzvahs. But if you don't have an evil inclination, or you don't have to do the mitzvahs, then technically you have no business having the Torah. I wanted to explain that according to the Beis Halevi's interpretation of Nasa v'Nishma, we could explain that perplexing Medrash, because now Moshe Rabbeinu's argument falls in the wayside. Meaning that what the angels meant to say, that once they saw that the Jewish people got a crown because they said Nasa v'Nishma, and as the Beis Halevi explains, that had we said Nishma v'Nasa, we wouldn't have gotten any crowns, because that would have meant that we're learning to practice, and everybody is required to practice, so therefore it is no big deal. But the reason that we got the crowns is because we are Magdim, we anticipated Nasa to Nishma, where Nasa means that we're going to learn to do and we are going to perform the mitzvahs, and Nishma means that we are going to learn Torah. Not because we want to perform the mitzvahs, because that is already included in Nasa, because you can't do unless you learn before how to do. So therefore, by us committing to do, automatically that would include all learning required for us to do. We only getting the crowns because we said Nishma after the Nasa, which means that after we know how to do, we are still going to continue learning. We are still going to learn just for Torah's sake. So the angels complained, if learning for Torah's sake is so important, then why do you have to give the Torah to mankind? Why don't you give the Torah to us angels? We could also learn Torah for Torah's sake. The whole argument of Moshe Rabbeinu that he was able to take the Torah out of heaven is because he said the Torah doesn't apply to you. Because the whole purpose of the Torah is in order to perform the mitzvahs. And since you cannot perform the mitzvahs, the Torah has no reason to be in heaven. But now that the angels saw that Hashem values Torah so much, that once the Jewish people said Nishma, that we are going to learn Torah just for Torah's sake, Hashem gives them crowns, then if that is true, then the Torah does not have to be in earth. The Torah could be in heaven. And that's what the Midrash means, that as soon as they heard Nasa v'Nishma, they came to complain to Hashem, No hoitcho, give your glory El Hashemayim, into heaven. Don't give the Torah to mankind, give the Torah in heaven. The Pardes Yosef tries to explain why originally it's written Nase, and now it's written Nase v'nishma, and he makes another point. He says on Pasuk number 3, there it says, Vayan kolom kol echot, that the whole nation answered one voice, and they said, whatever Hashem told us to do, Nase, we will do. So he explains that the Jewish people realized that there is no way that a single person could make 630 mitzvahs. In the Torah, there is laws that applies to the Kohen, there is laws that applies to the Levi. Obviously, it's impossible for us to perform all 630 mitzvahs. But there are two ways that we could perform those mitzvahs. One, that we should become united. Once we become united, then we could use the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, that all Jews are co-signers one to another, or all Jews are intermingled one and another, that every Jew becomes responsible for another Jew. That is a situation where we are able to perform all the mitzvahs. That one Jew performing the mitzvah, the Kohen performing the mitzvah, it's viewed because I'm his co-signer, or I'm intermingled with him, it's viewed as I would have performed that mitzvah. But that requires to have unity. So therefore, on the first time when Moshe Rabbeinu told us the mitzvahs, we said, V'yanu kolom yachdov, all the Jewish people said together that Nase we will do, because by one of us doing, it's considered like everybody's doing. Therefore, we're able to perform the mitzvahs through that unity that we have. The other way is possible to the mitzvahs is from learning Torah. As the Gemara brings down in the end of Menachos 110a, Rabbi Yitzchak says, what is the pasuk written? Zois Torah Sachatos, Vezois Torah Sa'oshom. Different places is written, this is the law of the Chatos, this is the law of the Oshom. That Kolo Oisek Betorah Chatos, that if you are involved in the learning of the Chatos offering, of the sin offering, Hashem views it as you brought a sin offering. If you're involved in the guilt offering, then Hashem views it as you actually brought the guilt offering. Comes out that if we learn those things, even though we are not able to perform because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, nowadays, if we will learn the laws of the sin offering, Hashem views it as you would have brought the sin offering. So too, we are able to perform all the mitzvahs of the Torah just by reading their appropriate laws. If we read the laws of the Kohanim, then you are able to perform the mitzvahs of the Kohanim, even though technically we cannot bring those sacrifices. But nonetheless, by us reading about it, learning, getting involved with it, finding out all the details, then Hashem views it as we would have done it. So he explains like that. Originally, everybody was together. Then it says that we will perform the Torah by Nase. But here Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in the ears of the people. The ears of the people means that we are all individuals. Once we are individuals, then we require to say the word Nishma, which means, as the Beis Halevi explains, that we are going to learn the mitzvahs, that by us learning the laws of the mitzvahs, that will be considered as we have performed. So it's possible for us to perform, even nowadays, all 630 mitzvahs, even though there is no sacrifices, and there is laws that doesn't apply to us altogether, but by us learning in detail, and thinking about it, and trying to ascertain every minute detail, Hashem considers it as he would have done the mitzvah itself. So that's what it means, Nishma. Meaning, when we are be'achdos, then we say Nase. We all are able to perform the mitzvahs because one mitzvah applies to the other. Therefore, it's possible for you to do all 613 mitzvahs. But when you are individuals, then the only way to perform the 613 mitzvahs is through Nishma, is through learning those chapters. And according to this, I wanted to answer that perplexing medrash with this idea that the angels were complaining after they heard the Jewish people said Nishma, that it's possible for you to perform all 630 mitzvahs just by reading the details about it, even though they don't apply to you. For example, the mitzvahs of the Kohanim is possible for you to do, even though it doesn't apply to you, just by you reading it. Then the angel said, Moshe Rabbeinu's excuse that those mitzvahs don't apply to us falls by the side, because now we are able to perform all the mitzvahs by reading it. So then, after we said Nase v'nishma, the angels complained in the perplexing Medrash, give us the glory in heaven. Because now, through Nishma, through learning the Torah, we are able to perform all the mitzvahs. We're able to perform do not steal. We're able to perform honor your father and mother. Because it's not required for us to do them, it's required to us for learning them in depth, and that we are able to do. Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all make a point to sit down and learn, because we see how important learning of Torah is for Hashem. And also, that we should all be in the level of Nasa, that we should all be Ba'achdus, and if we are Ba'achdus, united, then we won't have Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred towards one another. And if we don't have baseless hatred, then we are promised that Moshiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Bimheiro Bayomeinu, Amen.